Fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. I would like to start the lesson this morning by saying, why is it important to be saved? Why is it important to be saved? There are many reasons. There are some very real reasons that we are offered opportunity to be saved. And let me say this up front. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. And when each of us go to judgment, we're going to be judged for the things we've done in our bodies. But the lost people will go to white throne judgment. If you read that in chapter 20 of Revelation, you find out how horrible it is. And let me say this to you. Hollywood has invented movies. They give certain titles that's terrible. They have movies that tries to show demons and they show hell and they show all this and what the deal is when the movie's over. People may be frightened, but they say, hey, I'm still here.
Right.
Well, can I say this to you? These movies are, and what we see, what is presented to the American people today, it is conditioning people to get over being frightened.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says more than once, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm saved and I'm still scared of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm afraid of Him.
Yep.
So, well, what are you? God has got every facet of our life in His hand.
Mm-hmm.
One preacher preached here and it hung on with me. And he preached here probably 4 years ago. He said, every time your heart beats, it looks up to God and say, may I beat again.
Mm.
Now that's letting your life get on pretty thin ice.
Yeah.
But that is true. Mm-hmm. I mean, people die from all kind of causes.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to people and said, well, I went to the doctor and I'm in good shape. I said, I know it, but the doctor don't guarantee that you won't end up in the front of a 18-wheel truck on the interstate.
Right.
So life is uncertain. We need to really, really understand that. Now, having said that, most people, when they hear us present that man is a few days and full of trouble, and that Revelation 20 that talks about the white throne judgment, some people say, y'all are presenting a mean-spirited God. Let me tell you, God is sovereign in all His ways. Do you understand what that means? I say there's three things about God. There's many things about God, but there's three main things about God. Number one, He's forever and ever.
Yep.
He's never going out of existence. Number two, He knows everything. David said He knows my thoughts from afar off.
That's right.
So if He knows that, He knows what I think, He knows what you think, and He knows where you're standing. The third thing about God, and maybe I should have mentioned this first, He's holy.
Amen.
The Bible says in two places, God in His throne is announced that He's holy, holy, holy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know mankind in their mind, they think they know what holy is, but we don't. God defines holiness. And And our minds take us to places where we think, well, this is good, or this is good, this is good. And I want to say this as humble as I can. Your good works, whatever they are, will not take you to heaven when you die.
Right.
Is it Titus that says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but by his tender mercies he saves us. And then we find in the Old Testament, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags.
Right.
Now that means before God. Don't mean if you help somebody at Walmart or you help a lady across the street. That's not good morally. It is. But that will not get you to heaven.
Right.
Now I said all of this to say, our lives are going to end. All of our lives are going to end.
Yep.
You may live to be 90, and you may not live to be 50. The Bible says the young die as well as the old. So at any time, see what I said a while ago? When your heart beats, it looks up to God and says, may I beat one more time? You say, well, that's impossible. There's billions of people. I said, God is sovereign. He knows all that and he controls it all. And when the end of time comes, God's not going to wring his hands and say, I didn't think it'd turn out like this. He knows the end from the beginning,
right.
Isaiah said. So he knows everything. Now, I said all that to say this. God has sent his son into the world to die for the human race. And don't pay any attention to people that says some's chosen. Now, wait a minute. Election is true. Election's true. But do you want to get elected for heaven? According to Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to get elected for heaven, if you trust Christ as your Savior, repentance towards God, God elects you.
That's right.
Election is not for the world. Election is for Christians. Those that's truly been saved, God elected us in Christ.
Amen, that's right.
Now, in our dispensation, nobody's going to heaven that don't trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Right.
Now, you may not understand that, but if you just present your heart up to God and say, God, I don't understand, show me, and you really mean it, he'll do it. But you got to trust him. One man told a preacher, said, I don't believe I can get saved. He said, you're exactly right. But you can't get saved as long as you believe that.
Right.
If you believe you can, you can.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I got down to verse 10. But to bring us up to speed, I'm in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I want to just go back over a little of this. Let me just read all of it, and I'll try to be real quick. I'll start at verse 1. Now this is Paul talking to Timothy, a young preacher. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Okay, there's going to be a judgment. Everybody's going to judgment.
Right.
Everybody's going to judgment. The quick and the dead.
Yep.
See, not the same judgment, but everybody's going to judgment. Okay? And he tells the young preacher, preach the word. So many things are being preached today that's not the word.
Right.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That means for a preacher to be ready to preach as soon at any time. Brother Farrell's son came the other day, and Brother Herb said, now, Brother Josh is coming, said, and I'm thinking, well, I wonder when. And he said, I told Brother Tim, I said, now, We'll sing a little bit. If Brother Josh gets here, we'll preach him, and then Brother Herbert. Brother Jamie. That's right. Brother Jamie was here. Thank you. So we sung and we got ready to go, and I said, okay, I guess I'm going to have to change that. Brother Jamie, come on. About that time, the door opened back there. And walked Brother Josh. And I went back there and shook his hand and got acquainted with him a little bit. And I said, are you ready to preach? Yeah. I said, okay. See, that's been instant, out of season, maybe. But he come up and he did a good job. So I think that's what Paul's talking about here. Okay, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preacher is to reprove, exhort, rebuke, exhort. See, they got to get on us. But exhortation, see, is to encourage. There's something in a preacher's message that needs to be encouraging. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering means to bear with people. See, long-suffering means that we endure things. Don't mean a preacher puts up with sin, but it means that he endures things. And I'm sure these preachers get up here and they think sometimes, well, I know they get up here all the time. They think, well, I hope I'll have a movement for the Lord. But sometimes they don't. Well, they have to still be long-suffering about it, I think. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they'll heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. Good morning, brother.
Amen, brother.
And that's what's happening. And I've already gone over this, but I want to be real brief with it. We go right over here at Life Church, and there's 600 people over there. What are they doing? They got itching ears. They do not want to hear what we've got. We've had people come here, and they'd hear what we got, and had one lady to say, and this has been some time ago, talked to me, said, well, we got some children. What do y'all got for the young folks? I said, well, ma'am, we got singing and preaching and praying.
Right. Right.
And she said, y'all don't have a ball team? I said, no, ma'am. I said, if you'll show me where Paul had a ball team, I'll start one next week. So they left. But see, what am I doing? I'm showing you that what Paul is writing here is happening. See, the Bible is a living book. It tells us what is going to happen. And I say all the time, and I want to digress here just a minute. In my opinion, the last times that the Bible talks about Matthew 24, and Jesus is giving there a dissertation to Israel. And I'm not going to go into it deeply, but he principally was speaking to Israel. That was his warning to Israel. Now, it doesn't mean that some of that doesn't reach us, like earthquakes in diverse places. That might reach us. But in there when he said, when you see these things happening, flee to Judea, that tells me he was talking principally to Israel.
Right.
But in chapter 3 here, he tells us, know this also, that last days perilous times shall come. See, perilous times are here.
Yes, sir.
Now, I think that most people, like over at Walmart, they don't realize perilous times are here.
No.
They think, boy, I'm driving a good car and I'm planning on getting a new one next year. And I'm in here at Walmart, I'm getting what I want. And who could tell me that perilous times are here? Well, wait a minute now. The Bible is not addressing the things of comfort of your life.
Right.
The Bible is addressing eternity.
That's right.
See, you can live here and be comfortable 90 years and die and go to hell.
Yep.
See, Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Did you know the Bible calls this the short life?
Right.
You can live 110. But over yonder, it's forever and ever and ever and ever.
That's right.
See? And so it makes a difference. And what I'm driving at this morning is, please give some thought to where you will spend eternity.
Amen.
Now, it's my belief that going where the Bible, King James Bible, is presented is the only place where you'll find the truth. Those people out there are preaching fables.
Yep.
Like it said there in verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and she will be turned to fables. What's a fable? Well, yes. Fables run all the way from the three little pigs to works for salvation.
Right.
Baptismal regeneration. Baptismal regeneration is being preached. Now, I don't believe anybody here believes that, but Paul gave an example of that. I think it was Paul. You can disagree with me. In Hebrews, when he said the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea by faith, the Egyptians are saying to cross were drowned. Why were they drowned? No faith. No faith. See, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea by faith. When that sea opened up, I'm sure they didn't think, well, I don't know what to do. And Moses said, go! And they went. Well, Egyptians said, if they can go to heaven, paraphrasing, I mean, kind of using this as an example. Well, if they can cross the Red Sea, we can. So in they go. But when they get in it, somewhere in it, God told them, Moses says, stretch out your rod over the sea. And it did. And that water killed all of them. And the Bible said there was not one left. So you see, I'm addressing fables. What does fables get you in religion? See? So may I say this lovingly to you, not getting on anybody, not. Be sure. You trust Christ with truth.
Amen.
Now, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus that, didn't he? What is truth? Well, truth is that all of us are depraved. We come here, David said, we come here speaking lies. And by nature, we are sinners. I don't think God sends little bitty babies to hell if they die. But when they grow what we call age of accountability, and I'll let anybody define that, I can't. It's not a certain age, it's a certain knowledge that they have. It's when they come to a knowledge of sin. And all of us will choose sin when we come to age of accountability. It's all God's got to do is let us know. My old preacher used to say, all God's got to do to let you go to hell is leave you alone.
That's right.
Why? Because it's our nature to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, well, can't we choose? Sure, you do choose.
Sure.
But you choose sin.
Yep. Right.
Now, you may not choose alcohol, you may not choose drugs, but you choose something.
That's right.
So I'm addressing now, they shall be turned to fables. So be sure that when you that you search for Christ in truth.
Amen.
The truth is, me and you are sinners, and He's the Savior.
Amen.
That's the truth. And Paul said, "There's none." I'm sorry. Peter said, "This is Acts chapter 4." There's none other name given under heaven where. Among men, whereby we must be saved. And he's talking about Jesus. And Paul said, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now let me fill you in on something. God will not accept me and you on our personalities. He will not accept us. We need a go-between. We need a mediator. You read John chapter 17. Read John chapter 10. Jesus says, all the Father gave me, I believe that's chapter 5, isn't it? 6 of John. All the Father give me shall come. He that cometh to me and I'll no wise cast out. See, that's assurance. You can have assurance. Your mediator does not fail. In fact, the writer of Hebrews said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. God is so holy that if you didn't have an intercessor, even though you're saved, you'd be lost again. But He keeps you saved when you get saved.
Amen.
Now, He don't keep you saved until you get saved. See? But watch thou, in all things endure the affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. And I could say some things about that, but I'll go on. For I'm right now ready to be offered, time my departure is at hand. Okay, right there. What is happening in Paul's life? He has found out he's going to be executed. Now, put your mind in that. He's not saying, oh, Timothy, they're going to kill me and I'm so afraid and I'm really unnerved about it. When he come to die, he was comforted.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. When you and I come to die, are we going to be comforted? Well, I'm going to wait on my deathbed to get saved. Well, wait a minute. What if you call on God and He don't answer?
Yep.
He said, well, He told one group of people, He said, I've called to you, I've stretched out my hand to you, and you would not.
Yep.
Now, when you call on me, I will not hear you. In fact, He went ahead to say, I will laugh at you when your calamity comes.
Right.
You say, well, is that a mean? No. He's telling you, you missed your chances.
Right.
See? God calls and God calls and God calls. And if people keep saying no, finally God quits. You don't believe that? Let me ask a question. Did Cain have a chance? Did he? God went to him and said, Cain, if thou doest right, shall thou not be accepted? You think God was lying?
No.
No, he wasn't lying. Now, did Cain fall down and before God and go get him a lamb and offer the blood and say, you're right, Lord, I'm going to do it? No. He said no. He went his way. And you know what? His final estate, God sent him away. And he went into the land of Nod. And I believe, now, don't have to agree with me, the land of Nod is a figure of where God never speaks to people. You don't find any place in the Bible that I can find out where God ever spoke to Cain or his descendants. See? So you must make that decision in your heart to do it right. Most people say, yeah, I kind of want to go to heaven, but I'll give the Red Cross $100. Well, that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. You have to do things according to this book. See, God sent this book. Now, like the preacher preached last night, the devil is down here and he's crossing it up.
Yep.
Just like the devil did to Eve. See, the devil didn't say, oh, Eve, God didn't say nothing to you. He used some scripture. And you go over to these false doctrine churches and you tell them, you can't use any scripture. They'll throw you out of there.
Right.
But see, they deviate it.
Right.
He that repenteth and is baptized shall be saved. And they quit right there.
Yeah.
Well, the verse don't quit there. See? And so I'm just saying. You say, well, Mr. Pollard, are you the only one saved? No, sir. No, we're not. But all I'm saying is be sure that you choose the right word to pattern your faith on.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to know a lot of doctrine to get saved. One man said, I got saved, and said, I didn't know nothing about the Bible, didn't even know where John 3:16 was. Said, all I knew is I was a sinner and he's the Savior.
Yeah.
And said, I called on him.
Amen.
See, it's that simple. Somebody said, well, it's hard to get saved. No, it's hard for you to die out to self.
Right.
See, hardest thing people do is give up their self. And you know, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. That don't mean you got something on your back. It means you got something on your heart. Your heart is laboring. Your heart is laden. And I found out he will take that laden off.
Amen.
He'll take that burden away if you trust him. All right? So what Paul is saying, I'm now ready to be offered. My time is, my departure is at hand. He's not saying I'm really dreading it, Timothy. Next verse says, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Christians, are we going to be able to say that when the end comes? See? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. That gives me great confidence.
Amen.
See? Now for me, not my loved ones. For me, I wish the Lord would come today. But you know, I'm not. Peter said, hasting the coming of the Lord. See? Now I know, and I used to be there. People's not saved. Boy, they say, I don't want the Lord to come today.
Yep.
I used to say that. And I meant it. But see, here's the thing. The Lord is going to come. He's going to appear. According to 1 Corinthians 15. According to 2 Thessalonians. Is it chapter 4? Chapter 2? Somebody help me there. 2 Thessalonians. The Lord will appear. He's going to appear. See? Now, I need to say this clearly. If you are born again when the Lord comes, he will take you out and take you with him. If you're not, I believe you've lost it. You will not have an opportunity after the church is gone in the church age to be saved. That's my take on it. Somebody might correct me on it, and that's fine, but you can't get it when the church is gone, because God put his glory in the church on earth at the present time. Unto him be glory in the church of Jesus Christ, world without end. Didn't he say that? Well, can the church save me? No, the church can't save you. But God put the preaching of the word in the church.
Amen.
See? When Paul and Barnabas got the Holy Spirit got ready for them to go on a mission journey, the Spirit said to the church, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, the work whereunto I've sent them. Why didn't the Holy Spirit just say, now, Paul and Barnabas, I'm going to get y'all over here to the side, and I'm going to send y'all on a journey? He didn't do that. That's right. And they laid their hands on it. I think they ordained them.
Yes, sir, I do too.
And I'm not saying the church is bigger than God. I'm not saying that. But it pleased God to put his message in his church.
Amen.
And I can't question that. All right. Next verse, Paul's telling Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Now, he didn't say that Crescens and Titus had left the work. They may have been preaching, but he did indicate that Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. Now, Christians, that's kind of a warning to me and you. See, We need to stay with the stuff.
Amen.
Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, I'm not sure if that's Alexander of Ephesus or another one, but it could be Alexander at Ephesus. Because, you know, he sounds like it, doesn't it? Because he did withstand them greatly. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. See, do you understand that verse? Paul was a forgiving Christian. He didn't say, now God, they did me wrong. I want you to hurry and rain fire down on them. That's not our dispensation. And you say, well, I read in Psalms and David's praying that God would destroy his enemies. Well, I know that. And he did. But we're not in that dispensation. You know, the Lord taught the disciples something. They were going from village to village and said they stopped at one place and the people wouldn't receive them. And was it James and John said, Lord, would you that we'd command fire to come down out of heaven and devour them?
Right.
Now, that's what they'd heard in the Old Testament.
Yep.
But the Lord said, no, because you know not what spirit we're of.
Yep.
So we don't pray for people to die. We don't pray for people to get destroyed.
Right.
See? One of the hardest things, commandments that Jesus gave in this New Testament for Christians is to love your enemies. Right. They pull out in front of you going about, and you're going down the interstate, and they pull right out about 4 feet in front of your bumper. Your first thought is not, God bless you.
Yeah.
But, you know, it should be. I'm confessing there. Would you take my confession? It should be. All right. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Okay, let me just stop at that verse just a minute. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. You cannot know God without preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. And how can they preach except they be sent? See, and that thought runs us back to fables.
Yep.
Are they preaching the truth or are they preaching fables? And the Lord shall, in verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Look at that word, shall. And the Lord shall. Paul, you sure you're saved? You sure you're saved? And the Lord shall deliver me.
Amen.
See, now Paul's ready to die. He's about to die. And all through this chapter, we're finding him saying, I've got all the confidence in the world. Things are going to go well with me in the next life. And as I said when I started this lesson this morning, that is the basic thing we need to make sure. How is it going to be with us at judgment? Everybody's going to judgment. I've already presented that. See? The Lord shall deliver me. See? If you get saved, God will give you confidence in him. That's one of the things that he does. He steals the fear of your heart. Now, it don't mean you don't have warfare, and I tell all young Christians that let me. And one young man get saved and jumped up and he said, oh, my troubles are over now. And I said, well, as far as eternity goes, they are. But let me tell you something. If you got saved, God forgot what you used to be. But the devil didn't. The devil didn't. And you know, I don't want to press that this morning. I'm just telling you that. All right. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thou diligence to come before the winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. See, thy spirit. That's how we know we're saved. His spirit bears with our spirit. We're all children of God, and if children, then heirs. Romans chapter 8. See? Now let me say something. If you're not saved, don't ever quit searching for God until you have a comfortable spirit in your heart. You don't get comfort, don't quit. Okay? Lord Jesus Christ, be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. Amen. All right. For my lessons, that ends up the book of Timothy, and if the Lord lets us teach any more, we'll go into Titus next week. And I'd like to say that I've enjoyed presenting these few words on Timothy. Yes, sir.